The one that's really exploded, man, has been the paint splatter. And I remember when I had first told my staff I was adding it, they literally looked at me like I was speaking a different language. They were like, "That, like, you're adding what?" And I was like, just trust me, just trust me. So the way that this works is it's a room that's fully illuminated by black lights. There's no regular lights. It's just UV lights, and it's UV paint inside of the room. So each person gets a canvas inside of the room to paint on. There is squirt bottles and containers full of UV paint, and there's brushes for them to use. And they basically just get to go in the room and they can paint the canvas, they can paint the walls, they can paint the floor, they can paint each other if they want. We sell like white t-shirts people can buy. You know
Right.
how like the white t-shirts illuminate so well underneath the black light. And yeah, man, it's just like amongst kids, like we're able to have the minimum age be 3. It's just been so popular. Like parents just love bringing their kids there. It's just, I think the one of the reasons parents love it is their kids can just go there and make a gigantic mess and then
You
just
don't
go
have to
home and they
clean
don't
it
have to
up.
worry about cleaning it up.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real
Powered by Balbert Marketing LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, once again to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with Stephen Sortino. Stephen, what's up, man? How are you?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Thank you for having me on here, Ben.
Dude, so you're the owner and founder of iSmash, and I'm not going to actually give up any spoilers. Let's just talk about it. What is iSmash? I presume I'm smashing things, right?
Yeah, it's kind of exactly what it sounds like and how you'd envision it. So basically the gist of it is people put on safety gear. They get to go in a room where they choose a package and there's a bunch of smashing tools in there and they just get to go to town on all the items for them to break inside of the room. It's mostly glass and electronic items. We have some exciting add-ons like the car windshield has been very popular. The powder bomb, you break it and there's a bunch of colorful powder in it. It makes a big cloud. It's awesome for pictures. But in addition to the breakables, you also got a speaker that you can hook up to with your phone, play whatever you want. There's a big metal wall in there for you to throw stuff at. And there's also a camera. You can buy the video of your session afterwards so you can watch it back, kind of relive the moment.
Dude, I've never done it. I want to do this. I'm just like imagining all these different things. Like, has anyone done like a music video? That's the first thing that came to mind. Like, film a music video.
We've had a couple like smaller groups. I think they had rented out the facility and just kind of brought all the recording equipment. And it was a pretty fun time. We have done like a number of like skits for people trying to create content for whatever it is, their business or their blog or their YouTube channel.
Dude, I love that. The other thing that randomly came to mind is you said that, what is it that you smash and like a powder comes out?
So it's called a powder bomb.
Okay.
You basically put 3 to 4 different colors in it and you smash it off of the stump. It's in a beer bottle and the colors kind of just go everywhere in a cloud. And it looks really cool.
Dude, this is my big question on that. Could you do like a gender reveal? Like a
Yeah, we've actually
pink?
we've done those before because like the darker colored beer bottles, you can't see what color the powder is inside. So you smash it and then it reveals the color. So we have had a few of those. It's pretty exciting.
Sweet, man. So you show up, you get tools. I usually don't get this microscopic, but I just suddenly find myself so fascinated with every single detail because I'm imagining it. So what kind of tools? So I put on safety gear. As a customer, a patron, I come, I rent the time with a group. What kind of tools do we have? And what are some of the things we're smashing? Get a little deeper on that.
Yeah, sure. So the tools, definitely by far the most popular is the classic baseball bat. the most versatile. It's the lightest. You kind of just swing it around, not get too tired. The crowbar, kind of like the in-the-middle tool. They're a little bit heavier than the baseball bats. Can do some more destruction. And then kind of the mother of all tools, which is the sledgehammer, which you can really do some destruction with, but it is a bit heavy, so you get tired out a bit faster. So those are really the three main tools: the baseball bat, the crowbar, the sledgehammer. As far as the breakables go, they're really just common household items. Like for electronics, there's a lot of VCRs, printers, phones, speakers. And for the glassware, we get a lot of plates, wine glasses, mugs, vases, beer bottles, you name it. We have it.
Dude, anything you can imagine. That's fun, man. I could see myself getting in shape. You just smashing stuff. So I'm wondering where does everything come from? Now, I've got plenty of stuff I can smash in my house, but then I wouldn't have a home anymore. So where does all this how does all these recycled or donated materials, tell me a little bit about where they come from?
Yeah, so we have some great suppliers that have been fantastic for us over the years. So the electronics actually come from an electronic recycler. It's a company in Brockport called Sun King. They're actually like one of the biggest in the region. They have a huge warehouse out in Brockport. So they basically supply us all of our smashable electronics, and then they also recycle them for us after. So that partnership works out well. The bottles, we get those from recyclers too, from bottle collection centers, just because they're literally getting thousands every day. The windshields actually come from a windshield repair company, because unfortunately the process of recycling a car windshield is a bit complicated and they have to go in the trash, unfortunately. So these companies that we work with that replace windshields that are damaged, they just give us the windshields after they get replaced because they're basically worthless. And then the final part of it is the kind of the different kind of glassware that you'd kind of see more in a home, which that comes from thrift stores, because they're just getting so many donations. And unfortunately, they do have to throw a lot of stuff out because the sheer volume of donations, they just cannot sell all of it. So that partnership also works out well for us.
Interesting. So I could, in theory, the windshield thing is a great example, something I never would have known. So in a weird way, you're actually recycling the product by smashing it, because it would have just went in the trash anyways. And
yeah, definitely. Just get another use out of it.
So does, like you said, Sun King, they drop off a lot of stuff. Do they have to bring like a big freight truck and they actually pick it up as well? So they donate and they keep it? That's pretty cool. How's that work?
Yeah, so they come with like a truck every week, either like a box truck or like a straight truck, like a semi truck. So it's basically a swap every week. They take the bins of smashed material that are due for recycle, and then they swap them out with bins of stuff that are unsmashed, and that cycle just keeps repeating.
Wow, that's a lot of smashed stuff, dude.
Yeah, I think last year, 2021, we smashed like 300,000 pounds of electronics.
Oh,
so
my
just
God.
To put it into perspective, that's a lot.
I can't even imagine the things we can accomplish as a team, guys. So, like, how many sessions a day? Is it like all day smashing? Or, okay, I got so many weird random questions. Like, is this outside or is it inside? Because if it's outside, I know locally it's about to be fall and winter. Is this an indoor kind of thing? How's that work?
Yeah, so it's almost all inside. The only activity that we offer outdoors is the car smash, because we don't have a way to get the car inside, which that the car smash is definitely pretty popular. I know that's been a lot of people's fantasies to go up and smash a car and kick the windows in and jump on the roof and hit it with a sledgehammer and, you know, destroy the windshield. It's like, I know for me personally, like I was even excited when I first brought it to the store, because I was like, I've actually wanted to do this myself for a long time. And then as far as the bookings go, we're definitely busier on the weekends. I would say that's true for most entertainment businesses. Mm-hmm. And I mean, during like our busy season, which is like, you know, winter time, fall, winter, and part of spring, I mean, we'll get 200 or 300 bookings a week. I mean, it's like nonstop.
Wow.
Crazy.
Lots of smashing, man. How did you walk me through and honestly take as much time as you need, start at any part in the timeline that you'd like? Walk me through the process of, I'm going to start a smash company. And how many, first, as a side note, how many locations do you have right now?
So right now there is two, with two more in progress. We just had our first spoiler alert franchisee sign in Tampa a couple weeks ago. So there will be an iSmash in Tampa in a couple months, and we're pretty close to signing a lease on a facility in Albany too. So that's also exciting.
So you've got two locations, you've got one in Tampa opening up like moments, then you've got what did you just say again? I'm sorry, I was listening.
Albany
coming. So what is the process of you deciding like into, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, I'm going to start a business, it's going to be a smash business? Is it something, did you just love smashing stuff? And then we'll start kind of there, and then we'll lead into, you already kind of gave a spoiler, like this started as an idea and now you're franchising it out, which is pretty cool. But where did this all come from? Where'd the idea come about?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, when I was younger, I was definitely one of those kids that didn't like school, kind of fought the system a lot. And I got out of high school. I didn't go to college. I didn't really know what I wanted to do at the moment. I dabbled in a few different things, didn't really enjoy any of them. And then I remember it was like winter of 2017. So probably about like 5 years ago now, I had a friend came up to me. We were at a bar, and he showed me this video of someone smashing like a printer on Facebook. And he's like, dude, look at this business in New York City. Like, they literally charge to have people go into these rooms and just break things. And I was like, I thought to myself after, I was like, that is crazy. I was like, there's no way anyone's making money off that. That sounds like the most ridiculous idea I've ever heard. And then, you know, it was one of those things that just piqued my interest a bit. And I kept thinking about it over the coming days and weeks. And I started researching it, and I was like, wow, like there's quite a few of these in the country. I was like, you know, they gotta be making money if there's this many of them. And at the time, I mean, I was looking to start a business. I mean, definitely. It was kind of just one of those things where I didn't know what I wanted to start. So this just kind of intrigued me enough to stick with it and pull the trigger. So that's kind of how it started. I set out on the journey to open this rage room business that nobody I had ever heard of that I had told it to. They all thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. And I really had no clue how to start a business. I mean, I didn't know how to open up a business bank account. I didn't know how to form an entity, find a space, do a build out, any of that stuff. So I mean, fortunately, my family are entrepreneurs. My father owns a business, so he was able to help me somewhat with setting it up, but it was really just kind of feel it as you go thing. And I mean, as you would expect, there was growing pains, but you know, miraculously I was able to open up the store. And I think from onset of when I really started going at it to opening, it was about 6 months. So we opened in October of 2018. So it's about to be 4 years open here in a couple of weeks. And actually it was busier than I thought, to be honest. We were able to get on a few news broadcasts, which helped propel the sales. And really from there, it kind of just stayed, like, you know, at the time I thought, you know, busy. And, you know, we were staying afloat, making a little bit of money. But I know that the first year when summertime hit, that was very rough, just because, you know, Rochester, I mean, it's nice for 3 months out of the year. So everyone's outside. No one's really trying to do much inside. And it was really slow. And there was a time where the funds had gotten so low, I knew that we weren't going to last, like, you know, another few weeks. And I basically was like, well, we can either sit here and close up shop and just, you know, go out, or we can go out fighting and really see if we can make this work. So that's what I did. I really, you know, I started working more even as I was losing a bunch of money. And I really stepped up the marketing and just the operations, the facility, and it started to turn around, man. I mean, end of 2019, things really started to pick up. The store started to make money again. And going into 2020, the sales kept growing. And, you know, COVID was a huge, huge blow for us, because literally like the week before we had to close for COVID was like our best sales week we'd ever had. And then we got the news that we just had to close. So that was a little bit demoralizing, but I had confidence that we were going to sustain and get through it. And actually during that time, I was a little bit excited, because the Smash Room was getting so successful that it was gaining attention from other owners around the country of Smash Rooms and people that wanted to open up their own. And people were constantly asking me for coaching, consulting, help with opening. So I was like, you know, if there's this many people that want this, I'm going to write a course on how to start a rage room, and I'm going to sell it. So that's pretty much where my 3 months went during COVID. So I typed up this whole like 200-page long course, and I launched it in August of that year, and we reopened the store in July. So a couple of good things going on. The course started to pick up traction, and towards the end of 2020, like, you know, we started having crazy sales numbers again, even during the pandemic, like even crazier than before we shut down for COVID. So that was definitely a very positive thing at the time.
Do you think it's fair to say that the pandemic caused a little bit of extra rage?
I think so, because I mean, so moving into 2021, January, February, March, like we blew our sales numbers record, like out of the water, like double our best month before. And it was just crazy, because before that we were like, okay, the store can't get any busier than this. And then it just doubles. And so in the beginning of 2021, I was like, okay, like this store is doing so well. I was like, you know, what if I had two of these? I'd be making double the money. So that's kind of when I was like, all right, like, it would make sense, Syracuse or Buffalo, where do we want to go? And I ultimately decided on Syracuse. So I started setting my sights out there, and I was able to open up a second store in Syracuse in May of 2021, which was very exciting. That was quite a feat to, and that was kind of the first time where I really like stepped back from the store, from running it full time. And while I was in the process of opening Syracuse, I got approached by a franchise development company who had actually found me through my course that I was selling online. And they were basically like, hey, we take concepts that other people own and run, and we franchise them. And so they had approached me. We got into some talks and we ended up partnering together. And it has, it's been quite a journey since then. That partnership officially went through in about 1 year ago. Yeah. October of 2021. And so we did a bunch of work setting up the franchise company. There's a lot of documentation and legal stuff that needs to be done. And we actually sold our first franchise in May of 2022. So a few months ago, and as I had mentioned before, they just signed a lease on a space a couple weeks ago. And we have a few more very interested prospects where we might sell another couple of units before the end of the year. So that is my whole story. I know it was a lot, but
you're crazy, man. Where does this like energy and resilience come from? Because it seems like what I hear what you did, it sounds like a 10-year trajectory, and you did it in basically half the time that I would even imagine is possible. Like during the pandemic, the one thing that really stood out to me is you're like, we had all this. What's going through my head is you need to find the people that are going to donate. You're going to have to find the people that are going to pick the stuff up. There's so much supply chain like stuff going on. You launch in 6 months, you get momentum, COVID hits, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to write a 200-page training. I guess the real question is, where does this come from? You said you have entrepreneurs in your family, or where does this like grit and resilience and energy and any of that stuff come from, man?
So I think that it definitely has to do with my personality. I was one of those kids when I was younger that I wasn't into much, but the things that I got into like super, super heavy. Like I was that kid that was playing video games until he had to wake up and go to school the next morning, because I was just so determined to just beat people. And like, that's just all I wanted to do. Like when I had set my mind to doing something, like I needed to just go through with it until it was fixed or until it was done. And I think that really goes along well with being a business owner, because there's always things to work on, things to improve, new ideas. So I guess that would probably be my best answer.
Dude, I love it, man. You're obsessed, especially if you've got a vision, you can narrow your focus and get it done. That's a special kind of unordinary. A lot of people can't do that. So I appreciate that about you. So you're franchising. Now, this is great. So not all the listeners are right in Rochester. Tell me a little bit more about how that worked. So you partnered with somebody and you franchised the concept. Is it that simple, or what goes if I'm a business owner listening to this and I think there's a possibility that I could franchise and send this out all across the United States or the world? Where would I start when it comes to franchising an opportunity?
Yeah. So one of the main reasons why this franchise development company was looking into Rage Rooms was just due to the profit margin and like the overall startup costs of the business. And that's really what has attracted a lot of people to look into this as a possible franchise opportunity, or even just starting one yourself. But just the startup costs and the profit margins are pretty crazy. I mean, there's actually some information online that's public about the Rochester store that you could find if you Google the franchise offering. But I mean, the profit margin is like, 25% in an entertainment business. And it's very attractive to someone who wants passive income. And that 25% is basically when I wasn't really working there that much. So,
wow.
I think that just the overall franchise offering and the fact that it's new, it's trending upward in a big way. I think that in itself is just attracting a lot of people. And not to mention, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, you get into like, you say like you buy like in a franchise selling like insurance or even like a McDonald's, you're kind of dealing with people that are upset a lot of the time and grouchy. where, you know, this is a place where people are having fun, man. Like they're getting excited. They're getting pumped. Even if they walk in and they're angry or depressed, they almost always come out looking like they're feeling better. So yeah, I guess, man.
I'm all about the entertainment industry. I'm with you. I want to see people smile. I want to see people smashing things, kind of letting the angst out. I used to play laser tag all the time just for that very reason, running around and shooting people with lasers. You know, it's harmless. Are you ever worried? So I'm just imagining Fantasyland. So this is obviously picking up. It's trending. For Fantasy, let's be positive here. In Fantasyland, your franchise is like the big one, and there's like hundreds of these in the United States. Are we ever going to run out of junk to smash? Is that a concern that we're going to run out of smashing opportunities? Like, have you thought about that?
I would say it's highly unlikely, just based on, I mean, if you look at like a place like Sun King, I mean, they're not even close to their maximum capacity. I mean, if you ever went to their facility and just looked at the sheer number of electronics that were in that facility, you would be like, I can't even believe that there is this many electronics in the entire state. Like, it's just bins and boxes just full of unused and unwanted stuff. And not to mention, I mean, just think about how much of that stuff is probably going in the garbage that's not even seeing an electronic recycler. I mean, there's a lot of states that don't even really push for recycling electronics. So I don't think that running out of junk is ever going to be a concern. I mean, there's like, you know, hundreds of windshields replaced every day in probably one region. You know, there's always, you know, glassware. People are always trying to get rid of that. Bottles, people are always drinking. So my answer to that is I think it's highly, highly unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, like it or not, people don't recycle like they used to, and people don't keep things. I mean, granted, a lot of glass and wood and things like that I've noticed is made to break. It's not made with the same quality. So if someone's donating something, it's going to go in the trash. You might as well smash it. I've been inside Sun King before, and they've got techs like testing every little gadget, like one at a time. I don't know exactly. I could be completely wrong, but they're testing each gadget one at a time, seeing if it works, if they can replace it. So I can only imagine they've got thousands upon tens of thousands of stuff that they test and doesn't work. And then it would probably just end up in a trash somewhere. So this is weirdly a good thing for the environment. Like, we're already throwing it out. We might as well recycle it by smashing it. I don't know. I'm thinking out loud. You tell me.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the reasons that the partnership has been appealing for them is we do some sorting for them after the material smashed. We sort out the metal and plastic. So basically what happens is if they receive electronics that don't need to be disassembled and they can't resell, it actually goes into a huge shredder. And this shredder basically just pulverizes the electronics into little pieces, and it has a way of separating out the metals. And then they get shipped to various locations after that. But what we do is we're able to separate out the plastic for them before then, so they can send this plastic to get recycled like right away. And it's easier on their shredder because they don't have to do as much maintenance and replace the parts because the stuff is already broken up. So it's a little bit easier mechanically on the shredder. And as I mentioned, the added separation we're able to do because people smash the stuff, we're already picking it up and putting it into bins. So it's like, why not just do them a solid and sort it for them? So
good stuff, man. What else is there? To my understanding, it's not just smashing. You have other activities and like entertainment games. What else can I do at iSmash?
Yeah. So, about a little over a year ago, we added two other activities that have both really taken off. The first one being axe throwing. I'm sure people are familiar with that. There's a few different axe throwing places in Rochester. But what we really provide for axe throwing is like a very casual environment where I know like a couple places downtown, it's kind of like a bar environment. And a lot of people just aren't comfortable going to a bar. So we kind of provide that more like family centered environment. We also have
I'm laughing because I'm just thinking, let's get together as a family and start chucking axes. It just seems so primal. It's just hilarious to me. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, we were able to lower our minimum age to 13 for the axe throwing, and
wow,
yeah, you know, the teens love it. So axe throwing has been good for us. Then the one that's really exploded, man, has been the paint splatter. And I remember when I had first told my staff I was adding it, they literally looked at me like I was speaking a different language. They were like, "That, like, you're adding what?" And I was like, just trust me. So the way that this works is it's a room that's fully illuminated by black lights. There's no regular lights. It's just UV lights, and it's UV paint inside of the room. So each person gets a canvas inside of the room to paint on. There is squirt bottles and containers full of UV paint. And there's also brushes for them to use. And they basically just get to go in the room and they can paint the canvas. They can paint the walls. They can paint the floor. They can paint each other if they want. We sell like white t-shirts people can buy. Right. You know how like the white t-shirts illuminate so well underneath the black light. And yeah, man, it's just like amongst kids, like we're able to have the minimum age be 3. It's just been so popular. Like parents just love bringing their kids there. It's just, I think the one of the reasons parents love it is their kids can just go there and make a gigantic mess and then just go home. They don't have to worry about cleaning it up. So I mean,
get it out of their system. Yeah. Get it out of their system.
Exploded, man. Like we literally had to turn like a storage room into a paint room because the paint room was booked for like 8 weeks straight.
Wow.
We had a post on Facebook that got like 5,000 shares just about the paint room. So I cannot believe how much such a simple idea has blown up like that.
How do you clean up after that? Because I'm imagining something simple. When I go to a restaurant, sometimes they have throwaway tablecloths where they take the tablecloth, toss it away. But if you've got paint an entire room and people are throwing it all over the place, what is the method to clean up all that paint, dude?
So, I mean, the short answer is we don't.
Leave it. It just gets paintier and paintier.
If you look online, actually, like the more paint that gets on the walls and everything, the cooler the room looks.
Yeah.
Because it's just all illuminated. But, you know, in terms of the cleanup, like afterwards, that's very painful because we do give people like hairnets, rain ponchos, shoe covers, gloves, goggles. But I mean, some people walk out and they are just dripping in paint, especially. You get like a birthday party of like 8-year-olds. Yeah. They're all just throwing the paint at each other.
Yeah.
So we've actually gone as far as we're going to build a paint cleanup room that's just designated for people to wash up in.
You need someone like in freaking like full masks and everything, just spraying people down on their way out is what I'm imagining. As if it's like a toxic wasteland. You're just spraying everybody down on their way out. Because, yeah, I can't. It's got to dry. It's got to dry before people leave, I imagine, or get it off of them.
Most people have to go into the bathroom and just wash up and use half of our paper towels in there. So that's usually what ends up happening. We have to clean the bathroom like 15 times a day. So,
you know, take this wherever you want. Cause you don't have to tell me the worst of the worst, but any horror stories between having a paint room to having people chucking axes to having people breaking stuff? Is there any precautions I need to take? And two, has there been any horror stories that you're willing to share?
I mean, honestly, I really don't have as many crazy ones as you might expect. Like that's like always everyone's first question is how many people have gotten hurt here?
Sure.
And truthfully, the amount of people that have needed more attention than just a Band-Aid, I could probably count on one hand. There was an instance where somebody hit themselves in the head with a crowbar on accident. And they, we did have to just call like the ambulance for precaution. That was the only time we've ever had like medical services get involved, but he was fine. I mean, he literally just like got checked out by the EMTs and was on his way. There is one kind of, I know this is like when I was first, open for business, and it was just me working there for a while. At the time I was a bit gullible, and you're supposed to have closed-toed shoes on when you go in the smash room. Mm-hmm. But you know, I was just being myself. I wanted as much business as possible, and group walked in, girl had Crocs on. I was like, all right, like, you know, whatever. Crocs are fine. So the girl goes in there, and you know, she gets a cut on her foot because a piece of glass got in there. And you know, it wasn't like a real big cut, but it was pretty deep, so it was bleeding pretty bad. And so she walked out of the room, and she was just dripping blood like all over the lobby and the hallway. At the time, there was nobody in the facility, but I had a person, like a group, walk in like the next minute, and here was this girl, and there was all this blood on the floor. And then another group walks in that wasn't even scheduled. And here I am alone trying to manage this woman's injury, and there's blood all over. And, you know, I'm checking people in that are going in for this activity, and they're walking into a place where there's blood on the floor. And it was just not a fun time, man. but thankfully, like I said, I mean, those incidents have been very, very few and far between.
Right.
Our safety gear and just like the rules that we have our participants follow really prevent injuries happening. Like, you know, maybe I'd say maybe one out of every like 200 people get like a small cut somehow. You know, it really is very rare.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy, man. Battle scars. A lot of times it probably is user error. I mean, if you're hitting yourself with the equipment, it's hard to stop that. That's user error. I like these goofy questions, man. So we'll ask one more goofy one. Does anyone come in like they look like they're about to go off to war? Does anyone, you already have safety equipment, but does anyone come in with safety gear, like bulletproof vest, all camo, mask? I don't know. Do people come in looking like they're about to like go to war or like attack somebody, or is it pretty lovey-dovey and not much of that?
No, I mean, that's something that you'll definitely, if you're working there or whatever, I mean, it doesn't happen all that often, but there are the people that walk in and you can just tell, like, this guy is mad. You know, he just wants to destroy the entire building mad. And you can just tell with that look on people's face. And, you know, those are the kind of people that, you know, they go hard in there, man. They're coming out dripping sweat, and they're usually satisfied. I'd probably say, like, you know, 19 out of 20 times.
Yeah.
They're satisfied. And, you know, in addition to that, I mean, we also have like therapists referring their clients. Like, they literally like tell their clients, like, okay, there's this place where you go and smash things. We're going to allocate some of your, you know, insurance money that pays for this therapy, and you're going to go there and smash stuff. And that's going to be part of your treatment plan. So I know that that's been like a somewhat big thing with people that are going through like a loss of a family member or a divorce. That's something that's been fairly common.
Offline, you're going to have to refer me to a couple of these therapists, because that sounds like a great treatment for a lot of things. Dude, if I didn't already talk everybody out of getting a franchise with crazy people and battle scars, what would it look like if a listener wanted to start their own Smash franchise? And you mentioned it, they can go try it out on their own. It's trending, but you've already created the model for them, so they could just come in and follow your model and start their own.
Yeah, basically, I mean, and that's really the whole reason that these this franchise development company partnered with me. They were looking at a bunch of other rage rooms in the country, and they found mine, and they were like, this kid has got it figured out. I mean, he has all of the angles covered.
Interesting.
So that's really when you buy into a franchise, you're buying a business in a box. That's why you're paying a franchise fee, and that's why you're paying royalties, is because you don't have to go through the headaches of figuring this all out, of building a brand, of figuring out the best products to use and the best operating procedures. You just get, you know, here you go. This is historically what works. This is how you make money. And, you know, there you go. You know, have fun. It's that kind of thing. And I think that's one of the reasons why we were able to sell a franchise already, is because those guys from Tampa, they came up here, they visited a store, and they were like, wow, like wow. This place, like this is down to like a science. This place runs so well. So just, you know, if anyone out there is, you know, listening, you know, you want to start your own business, you know, you want to have something for your kids, you know, this is a fantastic opportunity, and it's never a better time to get in than now when territories aren't taken up.
Yeah, the local listeners, they're going to want to just come and hang out. And then any of the national listeners could actually start their own in a new territory, it sounds like. Where do people go to learn more about this kind of stuff? I know personally, I haven't done it yet. I feel silly that I'm talking to you and I haven't done it yet because it sounds that cool. So again, we'll talk offline, but I got to bring a group. I'd love to smash some things. Where do I and anybody else go to learn more?
So if you just type in anything, Rage Room, Rochester, I Smash, Break Things Near Me, we're going to be the first result, iSmashUSA.com. You know, if you want to learn about the franchise offering, there's a franchise tab. There's a ton of information about it. There's a video. You can submit a form. If you're looking at booking a session, a party, you can find all that information on there too. There's pictures, videos, the whole nine yards. And honestly, it's funny that you say that, you know, about, you know, wanting to do it and not having done it.
Yeah,
it's,
I'm surprised.
It's definitely one of those things. It's one of those things where like you always like people always say like, oh, I got to go do that, but they never get around to actually doing it. And I'm definitely someone who says that often to like, oh, I got to go to this escape room and I never go. So I definitely understand.
Well, dude, I feel like that's even part of the experience, because I'll be the first to admit, and it's not a knock to you or anybody else, I'm not going to go to iSmash every weekend, 52 weekends a year, personally. But I can get a group together, bring her along kids, bring her along coworkers, bring along clients, and have like a big shabam. And it's an experience. It's like going to an amusement park or like a concert. Like, you don't have to do it multiple times a month or every week. It can be something that you do once in a while. And honestly, if you're like me, a lot of listeners probably never done it before. That's a really cool experience. The paint room is kind of thinking like that's got to be kind of trippy with like freaking the glow everywhere. And like that's got to be an experience that it's probably hard to describe. You really just need to go and do it to understand it, I imagine.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Like, you know, you to take a look at somewhere like Cedar Point, like one of the best amusement parks in the country. I mean, you can spend the day there, but I mean, you're just like, you know, you're not looking to go back the next weekend or even like the next month. It's something that, you know, it's a couple times a year, once a year thing. I know like with our general repeat business consists of people bringing their friends or their coworkers or somebody that hasn't experienced it yet. Now we do have those people that come, you know, we do have weekly people that come almost every week.
And I wasn't knocking any of those people. All I was really saying is you don't have to go weekly. You could go once in a while. Yeah, but
exactly.
I know Lasertron, I went every week for like 6 months once, so I get it.
And that's not even my goal, really. Like I'm not sitting here like, oh, I don't have 100 people that come once a month, like the business is a failure. This is an occasional business. I mean, the most common thing people go here for is birthday parties, which is an occasion. So I think that is a great point to make, is this really is like an occasional kind of business, as is all entertainment, to be honest.
You got birthday parties, you've got gender reveals. That to me is the funnest one. I really think that going for a gender reveal would just be so much fun, man.
Corporate events, man, like corporate. People that work in like IT and like on computers all day, like they love just going in there and smashing like printers. We even do those like big office copiers, like the ones that are on wheels. We do those. And like those people that work in office settings, like they just love doing team builders there, man. It's, they all just have so much fun with it.
Dude, it's office space. It's like a real live version of office space when they're smashing that, what was it, copier or printer or something like that. Dude, it's a real life experience. You can sledgehammer it.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those things where, like, you know, when have you ever just been able to destroy everything in a room? Like, people can't, like, nobody has ever, like, done that. I mean, I'm sure some people have, but most people have never experienced that. So it's kind of just one of those things. I mean, if you haven't done it once, I mean, I recommend just try it, you know, get a group of friends, have some fun. I mean, $25 a person for 20 minutes and you're going to have a great, it's kind of like an amusement park. I compare it to, like, you know, you're going to have fun. It's just a matter of how much fun you're going to have.
You know, it's a good sign. So if I were to smash my house, I'd be sent to a therapist and then the therapist sends me to you. So why don't I just skip the whole, why smash the house, go to the therapist? Let's skip the middleman and go straight to the source and not smash my house and not need therapy. Let's get it out a healthy way.
Yeah, definitely. That is pretty funny. I think that's one of the reasons why therapists recommend it, because people are always talking about destroying things and breaking things and like, well, do I have the perfect place for you?
So I could go on 500 more tangents. We're going to end. I always do a rapid fire round. These are just short, sweet, whatever, you know, easy to answer questions. There's no right or wrong answers. It's to get to know you a little bit better. And I often start with coffee or tea.
Tea, even though I really don't drink either of them.
Yeah, you can always fill in the blank too. Any favorite animal, cats or dogs, anything like that?
I've always grown up around cats, so I'd probably have to say I'm more of a cat guy.
We'll do cats, and let's do specific ones. So what's your favorite out of the activities, the splatter paint, the smash, the axe throwing? If you have a choice just for yourself, which activity do you like the most?
I mean, I would have to, like, this is probably going to be surprising, but actually the axe throwing, just because it has a competitive aspect to it. And
okay.
I really like that.
The competition. Yeah. There's scoring and everything, I imagine, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how to score, but you can teach me later. We'll do one more silly one. So when you're smashing stuff, what is your favorite item to smash and what tool do you use to smash that item? Are you just like white knuckling it, or probably not, but you tell me.
So definitely by far my personal favorite is the Guitar Hero guitar. It is just... like smashing a guitar is just so much fun, and I don't even use a tool. I just grab like the end of it and just start bashing it. And I don't know what it, like, it's like the whole thing's just plastic and it just starts smashing everywhere. But I don't know, man. It's just like, it's so satisfying to just smash a Guitar Hero guitar. Love it.
It's emblematic to be smashing a guitar, it's bare hands. Love it, dude. Tell us one more time, how do we keep in touch? Do you want people to connect with you on social? Would you rather they go straight to the website? It'll be in the show notes as well, everybody listening, but where should we go next?
I mean, if you're looking to keep up, you know, LinkedIn is definitely a good place. I'm always posting any kind of updates with iSmash on there. So that's probably the best place to keep up with me. Or if you're just looking to connect.
Yeah, and anybody listening, if you ever feel like smashing your boss's computer, you actually can not actually their computer, though. You can actually go and smash a computer with your boss And it's a big corporate rapport builder, right? I know a lot of the people listening are business people. So this is something you could take your entire like leadership team or the people below you with, have a big old smash party with the office, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. People are always looking for team building ideas too.
Team building. We'll do a whole nother one. We could get into the freaking psychology of smashing things with people, but that would be a whole new tangent. What needs to happen, I'm thinking out loud, I'm just kind of goofing off today, to be honest with you. What needs to happen is I need to go with a group, smash some things, take some videos, and then potentially have you back to have like a more tangible like testimonial of the experience. We'll do another one of these.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Cool, man. I appreciate your time today. And yeah, head to the show notes, everybody. Leave a review. Check out iSmash. If you're not in Rochester or Syracuse or Albany, even if it's not iSmash, go to a local place. Freaking get some energy out. And maybe you'll want to set up a franchise. That's an option too. But till then, man, thanks for coming on the show. And I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ben.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@balbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.